The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that's very important to all of us, especially parents, and that is promoting youth mental health through our schools. And Dr. Smith, before I introduce our guests, would you like to tell us a few salient statistics about youth mental health?
Sure. Well, according to the CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control, about half of all chronic mental illnesses begin by age 14, and half of all lifetime cases of anxiety disorders begin as early as age 8.
And so we're very fortunate to have with us today Beth Mastro. She manages the Student Support Services at Ulster BOCES, and she has served as the director of the Hudson Valley Student Support Services Center and New York State Center for School Safety, both previously housed at Ulster BOCES. She provides technical training and assistance to school districts around the areas such as implementation of the Dignity for All Students Act, the anti-harassment, anti-bullying and anti-discrimination law, issues of school safety planning, and skills-based health education. So, Beth, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Thank
welcome.
You, Ben. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Thanks for having me. Yeah, nice to see you both.
Yeah, same here. And Beth, Dr. Smith and I know you work in so many critical areas in your portfolio. But first, Dr. Smith and I attended one of your presentations at Ulster BOCES not too long ago regarding the mental health guide, which we understand is now a mandate. Would you like to explain in layperson's terms what the mental health guide is, what its purpose is?
Oh, I'd be happy to. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, because it just came out this past summer, and it was in response to several of the high-profile, unfortunate shootings, Parkland, for example, that happened. We just recently had the anniversary, one-year anniversary of that. And with the discussion of identifying students who have mental health needs, there was always a mandate in terms of content teaching under the health education umbrella, but the state education department gathered a lot of people who were working in the field or people who had done research and practitioners to come together to strengthen that mandate and produce this guide. And so it was just released this summer, and it's being disseminated throughout the state and provides a breakdown of instructional guidance, guidance to community school partnerships, guidance to multi-tiered systems of support for students, and general content for education related to a focus on mental health wellness versus mental illness, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the guide has really four basic goals. And if I may just give you all
sure.
four
oh,
of
sure,
them.
Sure, please. And okay. feel free to elaborate. Too.
Okay. So their four major pieces of this are to help students understand how to maintain optimal mental health and wellness, and then decrease the stigma related to mental health. Help students be able to get help. How do I know I need it? Who do I go to get it? How do I ask them for that help? And then there is that content piece of understanding mental health issues, the content of, as we've talked about in the presentation, what are the disorders, and to help students sort of help each other and to maybe recognize, Dr. Smith, your statistics. Maybe my friend is using drugs not because he or she is recreationally doing that, but because they're trying to deal with something that doesn't feel right to them. Or if I have a friend that may have been doing well with me in school, and I'm noticing some behavioral changes, maybe because I've had a little bit of this now in health education, I recognize maybe I can help them get to who they need. Or if I myself don't, I have something going on that I don't understand, I know who to go to or how to access that help. Mm-hmm. So that, along with this piece of decreasing the stigma, is hopefully going to help students feel more confident and effective about doing that, helping themselves as well as their peers.
So by way of example, so if like, for instance, a student notices his or her friend, you know, isn't doing well or just seems to something's be like out of sorts, practically, where does it go from there?
Well, hopefully, and curriculum guides are always state-guided, locally decided, how that educational piece comes across. But practically speaking, to help students know, really you can go to the social worker, or there's a position mandated within the Dignity for All Students Act called the Dignity Act Coordinator. That might be the hub person who can then get your friend or whomever to help. But providing skills-based opportunities in that health education class, and by skills-based, I mean practicing asking the person or practicing looking up resources, where not only do students know, but they then do, and they feel they'll be successful doing it. So that educational piece is, in our school, we have the school psychologist, or we have, you know, who the social worker is. Mm-hmm. Here's a vignette of going to that social worker and advocating for your friend about whom you're concerned. Or here is a scenario, and you practice making the call to a 1-800 number to help get yourself help or get your friends help. Those kinds of things, where they practice it within the classroom setting and get better at it and kind of have that muscle memory should they need to do it. And that's what the guide is really built to do, to work with skills, the health education skills that already exist, such as self-management, stress management, communication, decision-making, planning and goal setting, and then advocacy. Once you feel like you've got sort of have your skills together, you can help someone else, that kind of higher level skill. Uh-huh. So those are the kinds of things that this guide is looking to health teachers to build around, so that, again, going back to, it's not just necessarily knowing the biochemistry of a mental disorder, it's being able to manage your stress and understanding those kinds of things, and being able to build your skill to manage stress when you feel like something is not right with you. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things.
And with respect to the support staff at the school, is that fairly consistent with every school? For instance, my daughter's school does have, they seem to have a team approach with the guidance counselor, social worker, and school psychologist, kind of, and the teachers working in concert. Is that, is part of the guide that sharing of information, and that kind of, so that everyone's on the same page?
Some of that is, Vin. Some of it does that. It suggests that. That is more of the multi-tiered systems of support piece within the guide. Mm-hmm. About how do you work together as the school staff to have strategies in place. The ever-present triangle, the base of the triangle is 80% of your students basically are okay and every once in a while have a bad day. What's in place for that? Mm-hmm. Then you move up the triangle where you may have some higher need students or kids who aren't managing as well, and what more intensive strategies are in place to assist those students, and that may be for a finite period of time. And then the top of the triangle is where you have students with very high needs consistently, maybe across the whole school year, where they have a behavior plan, and you work with them on even being able to describe how they're feeling or how to manage themselves. And that is where the team approach really does come in, because the 80% are doing okay unless somebody notices something, and then they'll talk to a social worker. The next level is really the team discussion. What can we do? How are they doing? I think they're okay now. And then the high needs kids are really the team is with them most of the school year with the needs that they have. Some schools just don't have the resources for that big of a team approach. So that's why this guide in the instructional piece is really critical in terms of making sure students know who is it they go to, or who is a resource in this school, so that if the school doesn't have that large of a student support team, they at least know who that key adult is to access other services or to help those students get what they need if they can't from what exists.
Mm-hmm. And is there something in the plan that ensures the continuity of care? So for instance, I don't know all of the facts surrounding the event in Sandy Hook, but there seemed to be a situation there where the boy that did the shooting kind of fell off of everybody's radar screen.
Absolutely. That's part of the impetus for this guide, mm-hmm. is to try to come to provide resources for instruction, partnership, and multi-approaches in the school, so that you can minimize those holes that might exist or those cracks. Uh-huh. I think we'd have the most wonderful thing in the world if we had that total crack fixer. But
yeah,
but this
right.
the intent of this was to try to approach it
close
in multi-dimensions as best they can within a school context.
We'd like to hear more from you, Beth. Right now we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. With state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies, you'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health, advancing care here.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Beth Mastro, who manages the Student Support Services Department at Ulster BOCES, and has served as the director of the Hudson Valley Student Support Services Center. Beth, you know, the whole idea of curriculum and how does making mental health instruction or mental health awareness a formal part of the curriculum, could you go into that in a little bit more depth as to how does the teacher write that into the lesson plans? You know, for traditionally, we've always been concerned about certainly, and the importance speaks for itself, but intellectual development or physical health and hygiene. But mental health has always had been a forgotten element of
True.
The plan, and yet it is such an extremely important part of it. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. This guide actually is, as I mentioned before, mandated through the health education. The regents actually amended education law to make it a more stronger worded mandate as one of the health education content areas. And so in the guide, they have broken down the education, the developmental levels, starting with early elementary, late elementary, intermediate, and then commencement level. And again, looking at skills-based, so that when we're talking about, say, a health teacher, and it will be, at least initially, because of the mandate, implemented through the health education curriculum. So the health teacher may be doing a whole unit on one of the other mandates, drug and alcohol, take that as an example since you had the statistic earlier, Dr. Smith. So if they're doing drugs and alcohol, they could look at the skills related to, again, stress management, self-management, communication, advocacy, and helping students to be able to better communicate their needs or their concerns. How are they developing the skills of managing themselves in terms of making appointments, finding resources? One of the pieces here is analyzing influences on mental health, and we'll talk a little bit later about bullying and social media, I think, but using skills and having students practice this can go broad, because you're looking at alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, but you're looking at, how do I refuse my friend without losing a relationship? How do I manage my stress so I don't immediately use a substance or misuse a substance? How do I communicate to somebody that, while I think using a substance might help me right now, it's not recreational, I don't feel right, and who do I go to? So health education is mandated as regularly part of the K-6 curriculum. Middle school, it is a half a credit, and high school is a half a credit. So the hope is that while it's mandated through health ed, there's some team teaching to scaffold those skills, to reinforce the practice of those skills, and to talk about, if I'm working with the English teacher, perhaps I look at what they're reading for critical thinking, but also talking about what skills did that, what were the issues of mental health or wellness in that reading, or those kinds of things that cross curricular ideas for that. Right now, as since it has just been put out for this school year, I think it's primarily being sort of, everybody's testing the waters and seeing how this lays out. But pardon me, the hope is that there is that cross-curricular connection, and then again the skills base, that I don't need to know everything, every kind of mental disorder there is, but I do need to know that if I don't feel right, there is someone I can tell, and I know who that person is, and I know how to tell them. So those kinds of things. And that, again, going back to those major goals, by talking about it and reducing the stigma, talking about sometimes the people you go to, you go, oh, they'd be cool with me telling them that, and you reduce the stigma or the reluctance to access a trusted adult, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it will become broader than that small mandate. As an advocate for health education, I'd like to see it be a little bit bigger, but that's really right now where it is.
It is a start,
which is
a good thing. And I know the Mental Health Association was very instrumental in the advocacy to get this incorporated into a formal curriculum from the state perspective. And, you know, so we have them to thank for sure.
Absolutely.
To recognize that it was lacking and it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. And they're a valued member of the committee that was formed to develop this guide, as well as to continue to hear what's going on in the field and what are the needs.
Mm-hmm. Is there some cross-training also among all staff in the school? So like if the student, for instance, doesn't go to the point person, but goes maybe to another trusted teacher who's not the designated point person, but can then get them to the right.
The hope is that is what happens, Vin. Mm-hmm. When you look at another piece of the guide talks about the whole school community, whole school, whole community, whole child approach, in that if I feel better going to the teacher does know who to get me to. That varies school by school and the climate and culture of the school, and some systems in place might be something like positive behavioral interventions and supports. Some schools might have restorative justice. Some schools might have the trauma-informed care model. And that kind of training would cross all levels of staff and function. And so they would hopefully, and I'm optimistic that they do. If you come to me and I'm not the exact professional, I know who that person is to either get you to or get them to you.
Right. And what role do parents have to play in this?
Parents have a huge role to play. And I would just like to say, any parents out there that may have middle or high school students, don't think you aren't welcome at schools. Parent engagement and involvement at the elementary level is high. They're the babies. I'm going to go make sure, you know, I want to be involved in my baby's school. And it tends to drop off at starting at the secondary level. But parents can, they are welcome. Schools do want their involvement in, approach the school, see what way you want to be involved. I would also, one underused resource, if they're concerned about what is or isn't happening, is go to board meetings. Those are public meetings where you can, as a parent, bring up the issue and say, you know, I'd like to find out about the mental health efforts in our school. And it doesn't have to be contentious. There may be some sense that they're contentious. There are public meetings where parents can, you know, bring up their concerns. In terms of just individual family levels, some of the, as you mentioned earlier, the issues of anxiety and depression, parents can also learn themselves and be aware of the symptoms and be concerned, not that they're not concerned, but also do kind of the same thing the guide is hoping teachers will do in instruction for students. Parents also find out who would be the person you would contact. Has my child suddenly just started coming home and going to his or her bedroom and not talking to anybody, and a change in behavior that way. And another piece is to foster resilience. Help your child understand that there are, sometimes things happen and they're not great, but we'll get through it. Right. Sometimes you see seventh graders who just think they can't live anymore because they've broken up with their girlfriend or boyfriend. And yes, it's hard. Love is hard. It's battlefield, as the song says. But to help you're the one. You're right there with your child.
That this too will pass.
To help them cope and watch.
And
them.
Understanding that asking about an issue.
Yes.
Or, you know, one of the things that we addressed in the Speak app was that, you know, with, say, suicidality, which of course is the extreme, but certainly something we're all aware of and is becoming more prevalent, but, you know, that you don't create the sense that somebody wants to create suicide by asking them if they are wanting to hurt themselves or thinking along those lines. But I think by the same token, you know, backing it off a little bit, you know, if somebody is sad or someone is depressed or somebody is disappointed about a grade or perhaps not getting into the school of their choice or whatever the case is, a breakup with a love interest, by asking about that, you're not going to make the situation worse. You're going to help them to get through it and then to start expressing themselves, which, of course, could only help to mitigate the situation. And if it doesn't, seeking the right help, they can.
That's such an important point, because sometimes you think, oh, they're going through it. Well, just keep in touch with them. It may not be just adolescent behavior. You just, you know.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we're right as we speak, we're going to be doing a shortly coming up a youth mental health first aid training.
Okay.
And it's open to parents and to community members and to interested parties. And the more people that know more about how to help, it really makes the whole situation a lot better.
And that's a wonderful model, too, that training is really.
And Beth, with respect to bullying and cyberbullying, which is a huge issue everywhere, really, Ulster County, as we know, has a local law against cyberbullying. But how are our schools doing with that? I know they all have policies, but is it a smooth road to or not? Or
it's,
are there bumps?
It's hard work. It is. In any given day in a school, it's hard. This was the Dignity for All Students Act was an unfunded mandate. However, the schools that I work with are trying very. They're doing a lot of good work. I want to put out to everybody that it may not be aware, that's another key resource. The Dignity for All Students Act said each school building must have a person called the Dignity Act Coordinator. So if you feel, or your child, or you know of somebody who is you feel is being bullied, harassed, or cyberbullied, that person's information, the Dignity Act coordinator, is posted on the website, is posted in the school board minutes. It's part of a safety concern for the school. And those kinds of things, I think, are getting more and more widespread, and people are knowing how to access it. Schools are trying to bring in programs. They're really working hard to respond in a holistic way to an incident. It's not just you and I have a problem. It's how do we build the climate and culture of our school to support
that. To prevent it from happening.
Exactly. Right. And it's supportive, so there's not that bullying.
Well, Beth, we were going to ask you about a couple of other things, including school safety planning, but we're rapidly running
we'll
out of time.
Back,
so we'll have to have you back. But can you tell us if folks are more interested in learning more about this or getting in touch with you, how do they do that?
Sure. I'm at Ulster BOCES, and you can call 845-331-5050, or my email is emastro@ulsterboces.org.
Well, thank you so much for the important work that you do. It's really terrific, and unfortunately, we ran out of time.
Well, so, thank you for shining a light on
please
it.
Please tune in next week for more great information you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.